Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
How many times have we heard it said, or maybe even said so ourselves, that if we could just be nice to each other, then the world would be a better place? I believe that's true. There is a certain need for niceness and kindness, for the basics of compassion and justice. But I feel like that doctrine of human niceness can only take us so far. If all we do is be nice to people, even maybe even the people that aren't quite so nice to us, what really are we doing? I recently saw an invitation to a Lenten reflection or practice, but the title was, Take a 40-Day Fast from Being a Jerk. It's a starting place. But for my opinion, that is a pretty low bar. And I hope that not only our Lenten journey, but that our entire spiritual journey is a little bit more than that, right? Sometimes just being kind or loving or gracious or not a jerk is a good thing, is a starting thing, and is harder than it might seem, right? Much, much easier said than done. But we're talking about a faith that must transform us and change every aspect of our lives. Being nice just isn't enough. Or we reduce sometimes the things in our faith to how to avoid punishment. What's the least I can do and get away with from a religious perspective? Like, what's the basic bar that I can clear, spiritually speaking, to be a good person or at the very least not get in trouble with God? And when we reduce faith to this, we do it and us a terrible disservice. Now, sometimes I've found that the process of creating worship writes the sermon itself. And that was part of my experience this week. We've been using this worship series. This is the conclusion of our worship series, Who Are You? And a lot of the ideas have been taken from Marcia McPhee's Worship Design Studio. But this year, this is a series created for the Epiphany season, but the Epiphany season, the time between basically the beginning of the year, the new year, and when Lent begins, which is on Wednesday of this coming week. There's an ecumenical Ash Wednesday service, by the way, at the West Lebanon Congregational Church this Wednesday at 6:30. So just a little plug and reminder. So Lent starts really early this week, which pushes back and makes shorter the time between. So there are all these great ideas to choose from and fewer weeks to put them in, right? And I didn't want to miss this one, this go beyond, with the passage that I just read about how Jesus encourages those listening to him to take their faith a step further than the basic ethics and practices that had been placed before them. But it's also Transfiguration Sunday. It's the Sunday when we read and remember a revelation that was given to Peter and James and John, that Jesus was, at the beginning of the vision, at least equivalent to Moses and Elijah, the great pillars of the faith that had come before. And then that he was somehow more or other than that, that he somehow took that further. He went beyond there. And that this is not a revelation that they can sit with, but that they have to carry with them down off the mountainside and into their life and their ministry. And those two pieces came crashing together, and it became really, really clear that our call to go beyond in our faith, to make it more, to go the extra mile, that's where that comes from, right? If somebody forces you to walk a mile, which is something that a Roman soldier could do, could force a civilian to walk a mile with them, carrying all of their armor and gear for them. If someone forces you to walk a mile with them, go with them for two. Go beyond what you have to do, what you are obligated to do. How transformative is that for you? And in some ways, because of the extra relationship that can be built in that time, how transformative might it be for that soldier who might have been seeing you just as someone to exploit and now has a little bit more of a relationship with you? Right? That our call to go the extra mile, our call from Jesus to go beyond the basics of faith and of religiosity, comes out of the revelation that Jesus goes beyond. That Jesus is more than the basics. That he pushes further and pushes past what has already been revealed. What had already been revealed in what was referred to as the law, kind of represented by Moses, and the prophets, represented by Elijah. And before we assume that this is a critique and a criticism flatly of the Jewish religion, or certainly the Jewish religion of the time, let's be clear that we too, people of in all times and places in the Judeo-Christian and I would say even Muslim tradition, all coming out of the original law and prophets from the Hebrew Bible, we all can reduce religion to law and prophecy. We all do that. We all take the tenets of our faith and compress them into what's the least I can do and not have God punish me. That's kind of the law. We like to boil it down to 10, if we can. 10 commandments. That'd be great. Just let's follow those. And Jesus takes those 10 and, you know, and even it pulls them out, pushes people further on those too, right? Not in this passage, but elsewhere. He says, it's all well and good. You say I haven't committed adultery. But if you've even looked at another person with lust, you've committed adultery. The following the rule doesn't matter. What's your intent? Where's your heart? Right? He pushes that beyond the mere checkbox of following the law. And or we can reduce it just to prophecy. And I'll confess that this is probably, I'm probably more guilty of this or more likely to do this. As if the purpose of religion is to just do social justice. Now you know me and you know I love social justice and you know that for me and for many of us, social justice bubbles up out of our faith. But if all I'm doing in my spiritual life is to try to change the world to make it a better place, that really hasn't pushed me much. That's what I would probably do anyway, right? And even if all I'm doing is putting those two things together, so I'm running the checklist of what not to do, and I'm trying to make the world a better and more fair place, I feel like, well, that's the basics of kind of what we're called to do as a baseline. As Jesus would say, don't even those who have no faith in Christ, have no faith in the higher being, whatever, don't they do the same? Isn't that just what it means to be a good person? We've got to do more than that. And so Jesus isn't critiquing or turning against or away from the tradition and the religion of his people, the tradition and the religion of Israel or of the Jewish faith. He is going beyond and adding to it. And that is just as relevant for us now because we are just as likely to get stuck in those places now as people ever have been. It is about him being more. It is not just the law and just the prophets or even just the two together that give us a picture of our faith. If all we do is just not be a jerk, whether for 40 days or 40 years, and maybe even not be a jerk and try to make the world a little bit better, I don't think that means that we've lived a life transformed. I think that means we've lived a human life as best we could. There are certainly plenty of people who don't get that far, but as best we could. The spiritual life, the journey of faith, calls us to go beyond those basics. Jesus takes the faith beyond the basics of the law and the prophet into transformation, relationship with him, with God, into life and death and life again. This is where this journey is about to go for these disciples. They come down off this mountainside, and Jesus pushes on in, presses forward into Jerusalem, where he will clash with the religious authorities, where he will clash with those who disagree with what he's revealing about God and how God is revealed in him, where he will clash with those who support the unjust systems of his day and of ours, and where that clash will eventually cost him his life. This is not your grandparents, he's saying, religion of just not being a jerk and just doing the best you can. This is a struggle that's going to be costly. This is a journey that's going to be risky. If you walk the extra mile with a Roman soldier, the danger isn't that the Roman soldier might hurt you. The danger is that you might come to like that person, or they might come to like you. If you turn the other cheek, and this is a whole sermon for a whole other time, if you turn the other cheek, what you're actually doing is forcing the other person to strike you again, to strike you as a human being, that is, with the front of their hand, and not to strike you with the back of their hand, as one might strike at the time a slave or an animal, right? You're causing that person to have to look you in the face again as you turn your face back to them, look you in the eyes. The danger is not in the sting of their slap. The danger is that they might see your humanity and you might see theirs. Now that's risky. That's risky. If you go with someone to court and they take from you, but then you turn around and you give to them, the danger isn't that you're going to be cold. The danger is that generosity might overcome the contentiousness in your relationship and transform that. That's risky. That's transformation. If we go beyond those laws, those eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, that was meant to keep us from one-upping each other, right? So I knock your tooth out. Sorry about that. And the law that's put in place in the Hebrew Bible is to make sure that all you can do to me is knock my tooth out. You can't cut off my hand, because that's not equal. And if you cut off my hand, I can't cut off your arm, and then, you know, I kill you, or yeah, you kill me, and then my family kills you and all of your family, and you can see how this goes. And that's how it did go quite often. So those laws of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth are meant to constrict our kind of base nature instinct toward retaliation that goes above and beyond and keep it at a kind of dull roar. You can only hurt someone as much as they've hurt you. Jesus says, that's not enough. That's not enough. It's not enough to only be as bad as the person was bad to you. We're called to do better than that. We're called to be more. And to do more. And you, Jesus says, you are called to be more and to do more because I am more. I bring this beyond the basics. And so you are called to bring this further, beyond the basics. Our call to go beyond in our faith, beyond simple rule following and beyond simple justice seeking, to a life transformed by relationship, by radical understandings of one another's humanity, by the vulnerability that causes suffering and, in Jesus' case at least, will cause death. Our call to that transformation comes out of the revelation that that's who he is. And that's exactly where he's headed. It also reminds me of our call as a church to look at who we are in our conversations about living beyond the red doors and where God is calling us beyond the red doors. You know, a really great, simple, basic understanding of church might say, if we can hold our attendance pretty level, we can make our budget more or less, if we can maintain a worship service and a building and maybe one or two ministries, well, that's good enough. But we are called to go beyond that. We are called to go beyond that because our faith goes beyond that, because Christ goes beyond that. And so it's not enough to have a picture of church that is confined to this hour plus, give or take, and the meetings that make it possible. We are called beyond our red doors. We are called into community. We are called into relationship. We are called into transformation. And so that's why I gave the kids some coloring pages, and I'm going to give them to you too. The ushers have them, but I didn't want you to like crumple them during the worship service and stuff. So you can pass them around and take them home with you. I'd love to see what you draw. This idea comes from a book called Wreck This Journal by Carrie Smith. It's a fantastic journal/creativity practice, and each page of the journal has you know, different prompts, like, you know, go drag this page through the mud and see what happens, or, you know, really weird things that wreck the journal. But one of them has just a big circle and the instruction, color outside of the lines. And you can see on the screen how some people have interpreted that instruction and have taken that and made it their own. So the idea is I've given you a line drawing of the church, a very poor representation as it is of the church, and invited you to color outside the lines, to think about where we are called outside the lines as a church, but also to think about where you are called outside the lines of faith, where we are called to go beyond and to push ourselves in this ministry. As I said, from this place, the reason we put Transfiguration Sunday here in the church year, right before Lent begins, from this place, Jesus, his disciples, who are totally set to like just hang out there on the mountain for the rest of the time, they have seen that Jesus is equivalent with Moses and Elijah and is like the next step. He's like Moses and Elijah, but Emeril's kicked it up a notch or something, so he's the next step forward. They've seen that. They've kind of understood what that means. And they're content to just sit with that. They want to build some houses there to just sit in that revelation. It's a big deal. But Jesus says, nope, that's not what we're going to do. And nope, we're not going to stay here afraid either of what this revelation might mean. He has them get up, and they all go down off the mountain together. They can't stay in that place. Even in that place of understanding that's gone beyond, but hasn't yet worked its way into action or transformation within them that's gone beyond. So they can't stay in that place. They come down off the mountain and continue this journey into Jerusalem, a journey that will end in some ways with Jesus' death, but of course we know that that's not the end either. And so this story pushes us into the Lenten season with this understanding that Jesus is about going beyond and that our spiritual lives are about going beyond. Lent is a time to look at those relationships, that recognition of our humanity and the humanity of others, that vulnerability that comes with seeing that and interacting with that and being transformed by that, so that we might have the sort of transformation taking place in our lives that Jesus is revealing in his, and that others are, the disciples are experiencing, that metaphor of the butterflies kind of behind me point us toward that death into new life. It's not enough to be nice. It's not enough to make Lent about just not being a jerk for 40 days. It's not even enough to practice the social holiness of trying to make the world a better place. Christ is calling us to go beyond. And he's not calling us where he's not willing to go. He's calling us to go beyond because he goes beyond. So are we ready to color outside the lines a little bit, to push a little further within ourselves, and to go beyond the doors of our community? And to see what transformation can be worked there in and through and around us when we are ready for that meaningful transformation, when we are ready to go beyond. That is my prayer as we enter the Lenten season. Amen.